11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. So you were at, on your trip, that we landed on the moon. There was a picture of you with the with the Jim Carrey.
Got a video, too, I'm going to send out a little bit later.
So that was where you guys, like, how did that?
So it was one of the spots. I mean, that's, we
it's
went
in the Rocky Mountains.
We went, yes. And I didn't know that. I thought it was Aspen because that was
obviously. That's what I thought.
I did,
right?
Too. And I don't know if that was just a mislead by the Dumb and Dumber crew, but we obviously, we went to the Rocky Mountains. That was in Estes Park, and this hotel is in Estes Park, the Stanley, where The Shining was filmed, and we're Dumb and Dumber. So we got seated. We went and had dinner there, and there's a seat right next to We Landed on the Moon. So when I saw that the family had gotten up, we went over and took pictures, and you know, Max had watched Dumb and Dumber before and thought it sucked. He's now changed his tune a little bit.
Wait till he sees Wedding Crashers. Then we'll really be on something.
I agree.
So I didn't realize that they were giving the spiel there, and I had my back to the cart. So everyone turned around when I shouted.
I wasn't paying attention. I don't know. You can't worry about that anyways.
So you're not playing at all, but Jesse has left.
Jesse has left the building.
And we're confident that he will sufficiently drag down the ESPN Madison team enough. That
you would think, yeah.
It shouldn't be an issue for him having to lose on purpose at the ESPN Madison Open. Now, you know, one thing that we have not discussed a lot since you were at Squat Fest is Badger football. And obviously we are very much a football-centric but a Packers-centric show. But you're headed to see practice
at some
point?
So I'm heading down to Platteville tomorrow morning. We're going to do 2 days. I'm going to do two shows from the field. I'm sure I'll kind of, you know, we're still going to obviously do our normal thing, but I will make observations. And, you know, I got a chance to, you know, catch up with a couple people, and it seems as if very highly competitive. I think one of the things from a Badger fan standpoint that we're going to be very pleased with is that edge rush. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how that looks the next couple of days. Because last year I thought that was one of the spots that maybe wasn't up to what we've seen in the past. And the pressure that you put on a quarterback with three and four people was not where it needed to be. So that's something that I think an improvement. And the quarterback position, I don't know where that stands at this point.
Right.
I think it's
a lot of people.
I know where it's leaning, or at least where I thought it was leaning. And I think the beautiful part of it is there'll be competition, and you still have. It's
going
to be 3 weeks, man. 3 weeks, I think, from Friday, or is it down to 2 weeks? It's the 30th of August.
No, today's the 5th. So we've got 25 days.
So it'll be 3 weeks coming up on Friday.
So they're at. They're
in Platteville.
Platteville until the end of the week.
I believe they're I believe they're done after the weekend, but they're there 2 weeks, so that would that math would add up.
So is that to recapture? I mean, you've told so many great stories from your time. Fool me twice, the game room's closed, but the seminary used to be where you guys would go, and then after that ended. Were all the guys just at their normal campus dwellings?
So, yeah, I think, I don't know what year they stopped going to seminary, but, you know, that was obviously a different world where they had no air conditioning. You brought box fans in, and now, obviously, they went to just on campus. They practice at Camp Randall, and, you know, I don't know if that was a cost thing or whatnot, but there's a value, I believe, in having that training camp feel. And Platteville has, I think, done a great job of welcoming and having – the Badgers come out there, and there's just a different, it's us, this is all it is. We're not on campus heading to Wando's or heading out. It's, this is what we're doing. And I think there's always a value in that.
So as they get into then the Camp Randall practices, then we're gearing up. We're getting ready for the games that obviously count. Have you, you went to Squat Fest. We could feel all the excitement. We had Will Pauling planning that big volleyball matchup with the Badgers volleyball team. Do you feel like in the NIL era that you have, I mean, you're the radio color commentator, an analyst, you would say, on these games, but I just feel like in the NIL era, it's so hard to know what the team is going to be. Is that, am I wrong to feel that way as a more outsider?
No, I think that's every team. I mean, I think there's teams that have ideas, and you have guys that are back, your core guys, and obviously Wisconsin has a lot of core guys back too. But, yeah, it is unfettered free agency. I mean, it's basically if the NFL had everybody could leave. That's what this is.
Right.
So you're going to protect your guys and try to keep guys happy so that they'll stay. But, yeah, I think your powers are still going to be your powers. But there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, with every program because your team is going to be markedly different from what it was. That's in a normal year. Now you start factoring in a couple of years of this NIL taking over, and you have more question marks, I think, as staffs than you've ever had before. And even with a bunch of practice, you still don't really know until you get out there and you see it.
All right, last thing, because I know you hate it when I turn the show into interviewing, but I saw this over the weekend. There seems to be a new trend in coaching now where we are trying to find ways to recruit players in the NIL era. So I saw Baylor's coaching staff were all wearing shirts that say, "We pay players."
Yep.
I saw UCLA had shirts that said, "We're in LA." I don't know what the Badgers.
That's supposed to be a positive?
I guess, again, I don't know.
I ain't lying to you. If all things are equal, I'm saying,
we pay players. I'm going to Baylor.
I'm definitely going to go Texas over LA, yes.
So how do you, like, is that just the world we live in? I thought it was creative. I also thought it was very weird.
It is. I think it's just the different. The world is different. You have Brian Kelly doing some funky techno dance with some player. That player's gone already. So you have to differentiate yourself. And I think Wisconsin, to their credit, have stuck with it is still about football, but even more video, different uniforms that you just see and hear. You have to stand out if you're going to bring in the younger players in today's generation. That's just how you're drawing that in. So you got to do what you got to do. And if that's what you think is going to best suit your program, that's what you do.
Well, a lot of things change, but one thing does not change, and that is our great partnership with Fortrea.
Oh, Fortrea's up? Oh, okay.
Fortrea is up.
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
And if you want to go buy yourself a shirt that says "We Pay Players" and you need a little make a little extra money and you're not being paid as a player, you can make some money from Fortrea and then buy your shirt.
Absolutely. And what I love about Fortrea, it's not just we talk a lot about the body mass index, 18 to 34. All kinds of different studies for everybody that's looking to get a little extra spending cash, whether it's going down to a Packer game, a Badger game, taking a road trip, vacation. And with what's happening in the world today, everybody's looking for a little extra cash. And Fortrea has some studies to help you with that. Healthy adults, age 18 to 65, body mass index 18 to 34. Study, one overnight stay, 10 follow-ups and 3 phoners. Grab yourself $6,805 for your time. And another one, this one's got a little more variance to it. I like a little variance in my Fortrea studies. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study involves one stay of 14 nights and 11 follow-up visits. Ooh, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
The 2024 ESPN Madison Open, presented by Coors Light, is underway. Jesse is somewhere on a hole putting his drive into the woods. We will see how he does. I do want to get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. We'll talk about that coming up next. Live from Bishop's Bay, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Rolling on from the 2024 ESPN Madison Open, presented by Coors Light at Bishop's Bay.
It's so quiet out here now.
It is quiet.
It's tough.
I feel like I should be using my golf announcer voice, but we're nowhere. Again, not knowing the course.
So 18 is back on. 18 is probably the best finishing hole in Dane County.
Really?
Because you're hitting into the lake. Like you can see the lake, the Capitol, and 18 is a beautiful green.
Breathtaking.
It is. It is.
So the NFL or the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I should say, had its induction class inducted over the weekend. A very Bears-heavy group.
Bears know how to make Hall of Fames.
Steve McMichael, which was great to see his wife. It was hard to watch,
yeah.
I'll be honest with you, but that
nice
is what ALS does.
A couple years earlier.
It would have been, absolutely.
Yeah.
Along with him, also inducted in the class, Devin Hester, another former Bear. Patrick Willis, Randy Gradishar, Dwight Freeney, Andre Johnson, and Julius Peppers. I felt like when I saw Freeney and Peppers go in, I thought, how many times did you block each of them?
Peppers a bunch. Freeney, fortunately, not that often. We had a play Indianapolis there, and it was Freeney and Mathis. And actually, Cliffy and I did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
That's a hard place to play. We got in a shootout with them. They ended up knocking us off. I think we put up 25 or 30, but they put up a lot more. Dwight Freeney was one of those. They drafted him, and they're like, why are you even going to play him? He's so small. Like, he's an under. Mm. And I think Freeney really kind of flipped the whole mentality of what you're looking for in the end. And unfortunately for me, I always loved going against the big block, like strong like bull, but not.
Because you can absorb them.
Not super elusive and like grease lightning off the field. But what Indianapolis and Bill Polian did, which was really smart, was they knew they had Peyton Manning. They're going to score points. Get me some grease lightning guys off the edge in that dome on that turf. And Minnesota started doing that. And you just started to see teams really cater. And now you can't be a big block guy. You're going to play inside.
Mm-hmm.
You better be grease lightning off the edge. And if you're not, you can't play in this league. So Dwight Freeney, I think, while he was a, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player, he's really good. I think he was one of those trendsetters to set the table because he was kind of the first of his kind in the early 2000s as far as undersized, best spin move in the history of football, and he caused a ton of grief. And I just remember when he was beating up on Jonathan Ogden in the mid-2000s. That's when you knew this cat's different.
So then, comparatively speaking, Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers, this is a play that I will give you, you know, that just showcases you the freakazoid that he was. We'd run draw plays. And the bottom line on an offensive tackle, what I always tried to do is invite, and then strong arm my inside arm and try to get him as far back, and then I would not want him to chase. So we had Amon Green, who was no slouch and very fast. We ran that, and Amon kind of bust through, like a little pause, and I missed the cut on the way back with Julius Peppers, but a draw play, it shouldn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
DNs aren't going to catch a full-fledged Amon Green. Amon breaks through, and Julius Peppers ends up tackling him like 22 yards down the field, 25, whatever it was. And, you know, I end up getting a negative on the play, and I'm like, well, I got him upfield, but I missed the cut, and how many guys can do that? And the answer is none. But he ran as well as running backs did. And he's 6'7", 6'8". He's a front-of-the-bus guy. You always want him coming off because he looked the part. He played the part. Julius Peppers is a special talent that, again, he's another one of those guys. Now, he's not some trailblazer. He just is such a freak because of how long and athletic that he was.
So I thought it was interesting. And look, he obviously had some memorable moments as a Bear. I mean, you saw him primarily as a Panther during your career.
I saw him twice as a Panther, but then a bunch with the Bears.
And then, so he's got that memorable hit on Rodgers where he puts the crown of his helmet into his chin.
Yep.
But he also is the one who John Kuhn picks up on the throw to Randall Cobb in that win in 2013. But I thought it was really interesting that he, you know, is known as a Panther. He went back to the Panthers, obviously, after the Packers chose not to re-sign him, which was a mistake, by the way. And the Bear, he spent his time with the Bears. But that he made it very clear that the Packers were part of his history. He said it was three of the best years of my life. And he even gave a Go Pack Go.
Yeah,
which I didn't expect.
So it's a different era, obviously. It's not, you know, one guy playing for one team. But for the most part, I think guys that, especially at that point in his career, it's one thing if you're 22, 23, just getting started. I think Julius appreciated the fact that it was about winning and it's about football. And that's where guys that are, that's why the Packers, I think, really focus on guys like that. because you're allowed to do it. And when you have success, and I know, you know, Packer fans will say, well, I wish Julius wouldn't have told old boy to get down on the interception. That's
sure.
That's one of his big memories in Green Bay. And again, that goes back to how devastating that loss is legacy-wise. But Julius Peppers had a great three-year run in Green Bay. And you're right, should have never left. The Packers, that's the, you know, not quite understanding the value and mm-hmm. how that all shakes out. But I love the fact that he appreciates his time in Green Bay. And I think, you know, Packer fans appreciate it too, because not everybody does.
He went to two NFC championship games in his 3 years. They
good.
Obviously lost both of them. He never got to play on a Super Bowl winning team. He was on the Super Bowl team that the Panthers had earlier in his career, mm-hmm. but he never won a title. But I thought, look, he was really, really good. It led me to then want to discuss this with you today. Is there a value in that type of player still, even on the Packers team that is now so youth-focused? Like, if there are opportunities down the road to add a guy who is toward the end. I mean, Julius Peppers in 2014, his first season with the Packers, had 7 sacks. He had 2 interceptions, both of which he returned for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a very good player still. He cost very little because he'd been cut by his previous
no
team.
Comps, picks.
No compensatory picks, exactly. So even though you're, and I know you're a Goody stan, as you like to say, but is there value, is there a place for a guy like that now still? Because I would hope there would be.
So I don't think there is as we sit here right now, but that is the case, and you know this will happen. I love the fact that it's youth and youth and youth, but that's where trade deadline injuries, mm-hmm. where you can find somebody that is going to be highly motivated and you're not going to be paying top dollar, I would have no problem. And I think Goody does appreciate, I think, the value in somebody, especially in a young player's room. But this is a young man's game, and Goody is just going to continue to double and triple down on youth, exuberance, and talent over that veteran leadership, because I always get a kick out of it. Well, you know, this team hadn't lost a Super Bowl, or he hadn't lost a home game in the playoffs, and this, well, that's not that team. And for as great as experience is, and I think there is a value to it, give me the youth and the athleticism and the talent over the experience all day, every day.
Your special teams were limited to blocking on field goal attempts, so I assume that you never had to tackle Devin Hester. You did tackle a few guys after interceptions. Do you remember at all how much that he would be talked about?
I just know I tell you a lot about circling guys and putting bullseyes on mm-hmm. guys, as far as we can't let this guy wreck our game. And Julius Peppers was one of those guys.
Yep.
And Devin Hester was one of those guys. We'd kick away from him. And the Bears special teams always were good, partially because their offense was usually anemic and they needed it. But the fake punt where we didn't even know where the ball was.
Yeah.
It was one of
Johnny Knox was involved.
It was one of the all-time cool plays. We all, just like when that lineman returned the kick in New England, there's a time when you're like, God, I really, you know, we obviously all want to win.
Right.
But there's also a time when you have to, like, tip your cap and say, well, that's pretty cool. Like, we need to steal that. The Bears doing that. Devin Hester was, he freaked people out.
Yeah.
Don't kick him the ball. He was electric. And there's a reason those guys are in the Hall of Fame. They're both field tilters. Both of those former Bears. And Devin Hester was as good as it got at that position for a long time.
Well, we'll see if Woe Hunter is now as good as it gets instead of Woe Nelly. Hunter, are you just going to take what Jesse suggested, or have you been putting together your own Woe Hunter?
I did find one thing from my weekend that I was able to use. And then one of the things Jesse had on here, I was like, we have to talk about it. So it works out well.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, we will do that. Speaking of field tilters and the best in the business, of course, Coors Light, which is a proud sponsor of the ESPN Madison Open. Got to see the crew here. It's been a really fun day. And you are on the cusp of maybe having a Coors Light.
It would be great to have one. Everybody that was here that was wanting to participate, I saw my favorite bottles, the 16-ounce wide mouth screw top Blue Mountain bottle. It's muggy out. Nothing better than going out to a beautiful golf course, having your Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And you got to make sure on humid days that those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We landed on the moon. Hunter takes over Wonelli as we roll on live from Bishop's Bay Country Club for the 2024 ESPN Madison Open, presented by Coors Light. So stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
How's it go, baby? Go, go, go!
Next man up, right? That's what you did your whole
career.
That's
how it goes.
Yeah. Everybody talks about it. Well,
some people are more replaceable than others. And this today, very
good,
replaceable.
Good example. Jesse is out on the course. That means Wonelli becomes Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wilde and Tausch.
Well, gentlemen, before I get into what I have for Woe Hunter today, during the break, we got a phone call from Trace Ramirez's grandfather.
Okay.
And he just wanted to say first to thank you to the Packers for making the world's happiest 11-year-old. And then he also wanted to say thank you to you guys for talking about it and just bringing even more attention to the family night festivities from that, and they were super happy with it, and they wanted to say thank you.
That's so awesome. There are reports floating around the Bishop's Bay Country Club that there is a bidding war for Trace Ramirez's services on our airwaves. There are some connections to Jim, Matt, and Molly, so I think we might be trying to get Trace. But, hey, this is what happens. When you deliver in a clutch moment like
you're
that,
you're going to get people that want
this
to.
This is what happens.
So, yes, we have a local Wahpanite. I think it's a perfect
fit.
It's
got fit. A local connection.
Yes, yeah. So I think it'll be fantastic, and I think it'll be really fun. What a story, and I think what a memory that happened on Saturday.
Now into my weekend. My wife
Not
and
as
I,
memorable?
No.
By the way, at your Dragon show, which I have not watched, panned very heavily that it sucked last night.
This last episode was very disappointing for being
surprised
over
Surprised the
hour.
Olympics didn't move, but to go, so they didn't have to go against it.
Well, after seeing that last episode, I don't blame them because I had a hard time watching it. But on Sunday, my wife and I kind of impromptu decided to go to a couple of open houses and start kind of looking at homes. So the two of you being homeowners.
I would wait till after today and let this thing keep simmering.
Yeah. But do you have any advice as we start going to open houses and maybe start that process? We will be contacting Stacy Bruner, the same that Jesse did.
How about Eirik? You going to get Eirik too?
Oh, I'm sure we will. But any advice on the home looking and buying process?
Patience. Be patient and don't settle. Make sure you get what you want.
These are all good pieces of advice. More importantly, though, let your wife take the lead.
I think it depends. I don't know Hunter's relationship with his wife.
Dare I ask?
I agree from my perspective.
Yeah, mine too.
I don't think you let Paula take the lead.
Oh, I totally.
I just don't think so.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Well,
now, I will say this. One of the other tips that I do have, and this is one of the reasons why we have a beautiful home that was probably out of our price range if the people who previously owned it had done a better job. Every room in the house was a different shade of blue. And so, and in talking with realtors, they said that had they just painted all the walls white, there are people like me that don't have vision, that are not visionaries, Paula had no problem picturing it. Slap a coat of paint on there, this is going to look great.
Paul and Lindsay paint.
And so it was so much easier for her to picture that, whereas I'm not as good at that. So that's one of the things. You may find yourself, you know, getting a little bit of a bargain if you see a house that's not exactly ready.
Yeah, and also sold. Wait till the stock market completely craters, and you'll be able to get a house at a lesser price.
You're
I'm a little concerned with how the world is looking right now.
I'm not blaming you for
Strait
that.
Of Hormuz, what's going on in the Middle East. Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm concerned.
I appreciate that you have a lot of
in Hunter's case, I think it'll be a good move because I'm guessing housing and some of that stuff might be ride that dip.
Yeah, Sarah is absolutely taking the lead on this one. I figured that out very early on as I started sending her places I was interested in. And she was like, no, that's gross. No,
some
that's
really
dumb.
nice houses here in the Bishop's Bay area. Hunter.
Oh, yeah, we rent an apartment near there.
Nice.
What's your address? We're going to stop over.
No, we're good.
And what apartment number?
What's your cell phone number?
Whoa, Nelly!
How much do you weigh?
Back to some actual sports. Michigan's still in a little bit of trouble with their sign stealing.
That's too bad.
As it turns out that potentially their new head coach was
Who are they in trouble with, though? I heard this story. Hunter, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Finish the story on what
he just can't help himself.
The head coaches did.
No, he deleted about 52 text messages to Connor Stallions, as well as they didn't turn over 7 hard drives from computers that were alleged to have sign-stealing information on them. So it was like an obstruction of justice is basically what they're getting hit with now. I think there's a chance that they might lose their national title from this. And Jim Harbaugh, absolutely got out at the right time, right?
Do you think that factored into his departure?
How are they
absolutely.
Take,
he pulled a Pete Carroll.
How are they going to take that away? They're going to say, okay, the game against Alabama didn't happen. The game against Washington didn't happen.
Well, if you're stealing the signs.
No, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to say, you didn't win it. Well, the guys are going to be like, yeah, we did right there.
I can show you the film.
So, yeah, that's great. The NCAA is limp. Okay, they have no power. They're dead. It's over. So, okay, do all that you want. Nobody cares. They don't. The NCAA has no authority to do anything anymore. It's over. So, great. Go ahead. Do what you want.
Is it, though?
Yes, it is.
So they're unenforceable?
Don't let them play in the playoffs last year. You knew this was what was happening. You can't go back and retroactively do this. It's a skid. I'm as irritated as a lot of fans that Michigan cheated. I hate that.
Okay.
But what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to strip them of their title that they won? Yeah, great. How is that going to make Alabama feel? You think Washington's going to sit there and say, oh, we're national champs? They're not. So the NCAA is now jumping in this. Sorry, bros and girls. It's a little bit late. A little bit late for this whole deal. Get out of here with that.
I will agree with you to a point. I don't understand
what is the NCAA's job right now?
That's exactly my question.
I don't know. Yeah, way to go.
I don't understand it. Whoa, Hunter.
Ugh.
Whoa, Nelly.
What an inept operation that
toothless,
is.
Toothless, you were
no,
saying.
No, inept.
And toothless.
Yeah, I think both. I do also think, though,
what are you going to do? Say Jim Harbaugh can't coach in the NFL?
No, but I think if there's people involved on the staff still with Michigan, I do think there's a level of okay, it is still the NCAA's job to enforce this, and until that changes.
Is it?
But, Tausch, there's nobody, unless it's the Big Ten that says, nope, we'll do it instead.
Yeah, do it, Big Ten.
It's got to be up to whoever still is technically in charge, as toothless as they might be.
Fox and ESPN.
They're
going
to bring some teeth to this, I think.
Well, Fox and ESPN need to do it. And you think that's going to happen?
Pull them off the TV?
Yeah, don't let them play. Think that's going to happen?
No.
Doubtful.
No.
Well, that's all I had for you guys on a very impromptu Whoa Hunter. I had a very uneventful weekend other than the open houses, and I went and saw the Deadpool movie. But
yeah,
you guys don't want to talk about that. So.
You know, Hunter,
Not Deadpool. Houses, I would.
The idea behind Whoa Nelly when it became a thing, it was because Tausch and I talk about so many different topics. It was meant to tether us to the news of the sports day. And then Jesse turned it into, this is Jesse's life. And it's just going to be my
segment. By the way, I like that.
What's this is what happens when I get trained by Jesse Nelson then. See?
Yes.
So I will bring better material next time. I'll just read off my Twitter
feed.
So the
question I have, Hunter, you're a Badger fan. Jason, you're a Badger fan. How would we feel if the same scenario just happened and we just hoisted our first football national championship since what? I don't think we ever had one.
They don't
Basketball's
have one.
41.
Correct.
How are we feeling?
We're belligerent, like you just kind
I'm
of were on
back
their
to,
behalf.
Yeah, we are taking the championship and we're running with it.
Yeah,
but we're not giving anything back.
But the good news is we didn't, so I can be a ridiculous fan the other way and scream about how awful this was
but
that Michigan did this.
If these same allegations came out against Luke Fickell's group and we just won the national championship last year, you think Badger fans are going to say, oh, that's a shame, give back the championship?
No, but that's what makes college football great, is we're on the other side of it, so we can get our pitchforks and we can go after Michigan right now. And if it's the other way around, then we would be trying to defend ourselves and keep that national title.
I don't think we're going to. I am honestly, if I'm Michigan, I'm not defending Jack. I'm telling you, you guys suspended us already. You got our coach out. You did this. You had a chance to do it last year. You didn't. And now what's done is done. If you want to give us show cause and all this other stuff, great. You know what we're going to do? We'll celebrate our championship.
Mm.
You had opportunities last year to do it. You didn't. Because you didn't want to take that away. The Big Ten didn't want to take away a chance to win a national championship. They didn't do it. So, boo-hoo. Cry in our beers. You know what? We can sit here and pout and cry, but I'm telling you, if we're Badger fans, I don't think we're handing things back. I think we're going to be – we will fight just like Michigan's going to fight.
If you cry in your beer and it's a Coors Light, does the temperature of your tears then lower
I typically try not to cry in the beer. I typically try not
blue.
To.
All right. We missed one thing that happened that I really wanted to talk about. We already heard Seinfeld in the tennis minute. He also does the difference between the gold and finishing second. You won, you lost. That actually played out in the men's 100-meter dash yesterday. I'm curious, being the big track guy that you were at Auburndale High School.
Why they didn't have tennis or golf on the primetime coverage last night?
That's another fair question.
Do you think we
question?
Care about track and field? Like, I don't. Do we? The 100-yard dash I get? It's a different era. It's a different world.
We'll wrap things up from the 2024 ESPN Madison Open, presented by Coors Light next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
So, I wanted to get to the 100-meter dash finish, but before I could do that, apparently, all you have to do is say four letters, and it riles people up. The NCAA, are they like, they're like the IRS, right? Like, is there anything, are people more irritated with any other group, at least in terms of sports fans, than the NCAA and think that they're useless? Like, this is from my buddy JB, who was a longtime college official. The NCAA is completely useless. Mm-hmm. I could write volumes about how they try to interject themselves into how basketball games are officiated. What's laughable is they typically take the worst officials and put them in charge of policy and policy enforcement. These guys aren't qualified to be crossing guards at elementary schools. They're pitiful. People just... The NCAA, man, lightning rod.
Well, I just remember the cream cheese made a meal, and, you know, players always looked at it and thought, why you're enforcing this just on us? Everything else is fine. And finally, when courts ruled that what was happening was crazy town, now the NCAA is kind of clinging to, like, that last rung of relevance. It's over, man. Like football, the football and basketball, they're going to come up with their own set of rules. And they're going to end up doing their own thing. And the NCAA is going to be completely null and void. that is already happening, and that's why this whole ruling, like, it's such a – I understand why Wisconsin, Ohio State, the Big Ten, like, I get why fans can be irritated because you feel like you've been cheated, but that's the side effects of not having a strong governing body. Greg Gard has talked about it for 3 or 4 years. There's just the void of leadership, and within that void and that vacuum, someone will step up and take advantage. Michigan did. I'm certain other teams did. And that's why I'm not going to sit here and pout and cry about it, because this is a failure of the leaders. The group that was supposed to be leading didn't. They haven't for a while, and now it's over. So let's move on, and let's find a solution to something that will make this sport fairer and better and more competitive, that will bring in bigger audiences and make things even that much better, because this ain't it.
So in the end, will NIL and everything essentially being above the table versus under the table?
Like, that's part of it.
You were buying players before. Now you're publicly wearing shirts that say, we pay players at practice.
It is going to look more NFL-ish, and you're starting to see teams hire NFL folks. Salary cap management, budgeting, like, this is where it's going. So all of this other stuff is just foolish talk. It's the big boy table now. And the NCAA, they don't deserve a seat at the big boy table. It's over. But it's up to the Big Ten, the new commissioner, the SEC, the athletic directors, and the TV folks to figure out how are we going to move this forward. If you're banking on this organization to do it, you're going to be very disappointed.
So you don't want this organization as it is currently constructed.
No, I don't want them to have anything to do with
it. So someone has to oversee this, though. There has to be a Roger Goodell, the commissioner's office, in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I don't want them associated
just give
with
it
the
TV.
I don't want them associated with the NCAA under any circumstance. I want someone fresh. I want someone from the TV or from the NFL or from a professional league to come in. All this fake amateurism, it's over. So I don't want any remnants of that. Let's just bring in someone that's a big-time professional that has run a monster business that can say, this is a monster business. How are we going to split revenue? How are we going to do this so that everybody wins? And anyone that's associated with the – is it Carl Emmerich or who's the guy?
Emmerich, yes.
Something. And I know someone passed away that was in that, so I don't want to be
Mark
disrespectful.
Emmert.
But that organization sucks, and it's time to move on.
What does not suck is golf at Bishop's Bay Country Club. The rain held off, so you were right.
You we didn't knock need. On wood.
So well, for new. The show, we really didn't need the in. Tent.
Yeah.
The golf, on the other hand, what are your responsibilities here? You're going to go hit
any.
A drive for some people or anything?
No responsibilities.
You're just going to hang
which
out.
Which is nice.
It's a good
my whole life is full of responsibilities. It's nice to not have one.
Okay. Well, we have the responsibility of ending the show. Hunter, great job producing in for Jesse. And he lasted a whole 2 hours before he went to go golfing. That's it for us today from the ESPN Madison Open presented by Coors Light. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.